This is Forrest Elise interviewing Amatala Abdul-Jabbar on August 14th at 8:20.
Okay. So if you could maybe take me back to the time of your pregnancy and conception, if there was anything memorable in terms of the environment, you know, was it like hot summer or was there any events just to kind of place us in time?
Well, it wasn't planned. And I knew when I got pregnant because I had a premonition of it. So I told my girlfriend, who I was staying with at the time, I was married, and she was nice enough to let me stay with her until we got our apartment got ready, my husband and I. And she said, "You pregnant?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm pregnant." And she's like, "Really?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And she goes, "So you know you're pregnant?" I'm like, "Yeah, and I know I'm having a little boy." I said, "He's gonna have a mole just like mine on my chin, only on the opposite side." I had a premonition of it. Sure enough, his father had morning sickness. I didn't. I was losing weight. He was getting sick. So his friend at work, because he was a DJ at WGCL radio at the time, so his friend said, "Well, maybe you need to go take your wife to see if she's pregnant, because, man, you sick." He couldn't stand the smell of food or anything. So for the first 6 months, he had morning sickness. Went to the doctor. Sure enough, I was pregnant. Last 6 months, I had morning, evening, afternoon, snack time, break time sickness. I was just sick all day long, 24 hours a day. So I was losing weight. I wasn't gaining weight. I was losing weight. So my obstetrician got kind of worried. He's like, "Well, if you don't start gaining weight, then we're going to have to put you in a hospital." But at the same time, I was also a female power lifter. So I continued to work out. So I had to stop working out and I had to stop competing because that was making me lose weight too. So I had to stop doing that. But I did calisthenics, you know, squats around the house, clean, cook, the majority of things. And of course, it was kind of weird because I couldn't keep anything down. Nothing of the natural, the peppermint, the crackers, none of that was working. So yes, I had to puff on a marijuana to make my appetite come up and also to keep the food down. So I did that once a day, but I got tired of that, so I didn't do that anyway. And my son was supposed to come he's supposed to come December 24th, but he came November 3rd. So when I went into the hospital, I started having contractions, but I thought they were Braxton Hicks contractions, so I didn't pay it any attention. So I went over to a friend's house and sat with her and did laundry and laughed and talked. And then I went out to another friend's house and we played and talked and sat around. And then my water broke. But I didn't have any contractions. My water broke, but then it was just like nothing. I mean, the pain just went away. So they were like, "Well, your water just broke. Well, you better go in the hospital." So I called my doctor first, and he was like, "Well, yeah, because you don't want to have a dry birth. You better come in." So I came in. He was like, "So are you having any pain?" I'm like, "Well, no." He goes, "Well, you are in labor." And I'm like, "I am?" I'm like, "Because it really don't feel like it." He goes, "You're not having any cramping?" I'm like, "Well, no, it's just like a little uncomfortable. Like, you know, I can't get a kink out of my back." He goes, "No, you're in labor." So I'm like, "Okay." So we sat there, and I sat there, and I laid there, and I laid there, and about into 30 hours, I'm like, "Well, is it my turn?" Because I could hear all the other ladies, you know, screaming, crying out, going ballistic, and I could hear the doctor going, "Okay, it's time, push," you know, and I'm like, "Okay, so is it my turn?" And my doctor was like, "Well, this is not about a turn, you know, we have to wait on the baby to come," and I'm like, he goes, "This is not a term. We don't just start at one end of the building and then work our way down." He goes, "This, you know, we have to wait until the baby decides to come." He goes, "Well, you don't have to get up on your right knee and leg because the baby's in distress, fetal distress in his heart." So I'm sitting like, "Oh my goodness, this is getting ridiculous." So then my son's father, he came up. He goes, "Well, I'm going to go get some money and go buy some, you know, this, that, and the other." There he is.
He's the culprit.
He's the culprit. That's my little one right there. He's the one.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, no, it'll take some time. So after a while, my labor, it got real bad. I was in intensive labor. I dilated like 8 centimeters. They're like, oh, yeah, you're doing good. Then it stopped. No, the baby just decided, no, I'm tired. He just decided, no, I'm tired. I don't want to do this. I changed my mind. So then I had to have my labor induced. So they induced it with Pitocin. It's like, no, we can't do, you know, this baby has got to come. So we're in the 35 hours now. And the doctor's like, well, if you go past 35 hours, you'll be the record. You'll have the longest labor. So at 36 and a half hours of labor, he finally decided to come. So his father called back and goes, you ready to have the baby? I said, yeah, I'm giving her this baby now. And the doctor and the nurse was like, I don't know how you know that. And he goes, oh, well, she must be right because the baby's crowning. And then the doctor was like, okay, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. We can take you in the delivery. It's your turn now. You can have the baby. So as I was going into the delivery, his father come running down the hall and they said, here, you better put this on. You better put on that. You got to hurry up because the baby is coming. The head's coming out. And the doctor was like, well, don't push. I said, I'm not pushing. He goes, the baby's doing it. He goes, okay. And he said, well, wait a minute. So yeah, he finally came out. And when he did, he didn't cry. He just got this mean look on his face. And he just went, eh. Like, whatever. That's and the doctor goes, so you want to know what you're having? I said, I know I'm having a boy. I said, he's got a mole just like mine on the opposite side of his chin. And the doctor looked and went, wow. And then, of course, he had the hereditary that goes in our family. He had the extra fingers like I did. So I had one on each hand, and so did he.
You were the best storyteller. You were like a comedian.
Hey, that's just the way it happened.
I have to be quiet when you're talking so that she doesn't edit out. It was like killing me not laughing. So tell me about the premonition, though.
I don't know why. It just...
Was it a dream or just a feeling?
No, it was more like... Okay, every so often I have an out-of-body experience, okay, where I actually leave, my soul leaves my body. And it was like that, but only I was awake. I was in the kitchen washing dishes, and I just had an out-of-body experience, and I was sitting there looking at my baby, and I'm like, oh, wow, a little baby boy. I'm like, oh, that's my little baby boy. And...
That's really cool. So your husband wasn't allowed in the room with you when you were late?
Oh, yeah. He came in. He cut the cord and got all huffy, you know, with his chest poked out. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Like he did all the work.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that. That was wonderful. I'm trying to think if there's anything you left out. I mean, yours is like seamless. You should just tell stories for a living. Okay, let's see. Well, okay, tell me more about your feelings about being pregnant, you know, because you said it wasn't planned, but then were you just like really excited or?
Well, no, let me put it this way. I understand why women go through that emotional roller coaster when they're pregnant. Because the first thing you think of is, there's something growing inside of me and moving, okay? So you don't want to have that bad feeling. So that's the reason why I believe that, you know, they go through ups and downs, emotions. And it was nice because while I was pregnant, his father and I would read health magazines to him, the newspaper, how babies develop. And that was kind of funny, too, because November the 2nd, we were reading, his father said, so if you want to come out and see us right now, you can. We can't wait. And then November 3rd, I went into labor.
You have a really cool, it's like you're in touch with the universe or something. I feel so out of touch with the universe. That's fascinating. So that's great. So then, was he underweight or anything? Because he was
no,
early?
He was premature, but he was 5 pounds 7 ounces.
So you could take him right home?
Well, no, because he was a little jaundiced, and then the digestive system hadn't developed, so he had to stay in until his digestive. And because of that, I had to go vegan. so I had to make his baby food. I could not buy Gerber's or anything like that. I had to put him on special Simulac. And when I was able to bring him home, I couldn't have carpet in the house. And the walls had to be washed every day with bleach and water and sterile. Yes. And so for the first 6 months of his life, he had to go to the hospital twice a week to have his blood checked, to make sure he was getting healthy, to make sure everything was going okay. So I had to wrap him up like a mummy whenever I took him outside. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
It's easy tonight.
Bless you.
I have one more. No, okay. So that's fascinating. So was it just like his lungs, or was he having allergies to the environment?
No, he was what they call neutropenic, which is a condition when your body like gets some kind of bacterial cold, and so your antibodies fight off the strain bacteria. Well, when you're neutropenic, the red blood cells start to attack the other healthy red blood cells. And so then the doctors were, his father, they did blood work on his father, they did blood work on me, and they found out he got it from me because I am what they call cyclic neutropenic, which means every cycle out, this will happen if I get sick.
That's interesting. You didn't know anything about that before?
No.
That's really interesting. So he gained weight and then just acclimated and got better? Or?
Yeah, well, after a while, you know, his digestive system and his neutropenia, his red blood cells started to pick up and get healthy, but then because of his digestive system was underdeveloped, he couldn't eat animal or anything from animal. So I had to learn how to be a vegan. So up until he got in, I'd say 10th, 11th grade, yeah, he didn't eat meat, anything from meat.
So has that changed then? Now he's...
Yeah, now he eats everything. Now he's just...
Isn't that amazing how they can just grow into these healthy adults,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, now he eats everything.
So, okay, so then that must have been, I mean, like a full-time job. Were you staying at home and just taking care of this baby?
Yeah, I was blessed enough to be a stay-at-home mom. I enjoyed it. And then because of that, I also homeschooled him. So I homeschooled him until he was going into like the second grade. Then I put him in school. But then, of course, I started working evenings, but then I stayed home during the day because I was also a school mom because I wanted to make sure I checked on my son. So,
can you tell me more about the weightlifting?
Oh, well, before I got pregnant and I met his father, his father was an avid exercise enthusiast, so we would work out. So then we joined Bally's Gym because we had all the equipment at home first. So then we decided we'd join Bally's Gym. So I met a lady there who had weighed like over 300 plus pounds, and she had lost so much weight you would never knew. You'd have never known she was that overweight. So she said, well, I'm competing amateur and I need a partner. You know, she said, because you do good with your weights, with your legs, she said, I'll do the upper because you could partner like that. She did the upper, I did the lower. So we partnered together, and we won about like 4 championships. You know, at the last time I competed, I squatted, I believe it was 415.
Wow. So that's incredible. And then after you had your son, you didn't do that anymore?
No, I kept. Well, I didn't compete anymore because I couldn't compete anymore. You'd have to go pro, and I didn't want to go pro because I didn't like the pressure of the steroids and all of that, the coaches, because they really do. They, you know, because it's real, a lot of money involved. So, no, I didn't want to do that, so I just stopped competing amateurly because amateur is all about health. You know, they watch your diet. They want to know what you eat. They check your body mass index. You know, it has to be all healthy when it's amateur. Then and you would think it'd be the other way around. And then when it's pro, it's just like, because there's so much money that comes with it. Oh, no. So I'm like, no, I didn't. But I continue to work out. So I worked out with my son When he was little, I'd do squats with him, you know, benches, he'd be the weight. He used to enjoy that. And then when he got older, then he would exercise with us. We'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning because we had an exercise, we had a weight room in the house. So we'd get up at 4 in the morning and we'd exercise for an hour. Then we'd go jog.
That's wonderful.
Then we would have push-up competitions.
I always say, you know, that there's such a thing as, like, mom arms, because you're picking up your kids so much that you get these, like, really incredible arms.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to work on it after they get too heavy, and then you have to start lifting weights again to keep it up. No, that's fascinating. Gosh, okay, let me look at my notes and see if there's anything else I forgot. When you reflect back on the experience, did you feel, you know, what are your feelings? Were you... did you feel prepared? Were you surprised by your experiences? Or,
well, I was surprised I was pregnant, considering I had 3 doctors that told me I would never get pregnant and I couldn't have any children. I want to go back and sue them. But
there's a lot of emotional heartbreak, you know.
No, I was happy.
So you want to sue him because then you didn't use protection when you got pregnant?
Yeah, oh, yeah. They told me, no, you cannot have any children. You will not be able to get pregnant. I'm like, cool. Yay. Score one for me. And then I got married and got pregnant, and I was like, oh, I ought to sue him. I ought to sue him.
Do you know why they said that?
Well, yeah, because I was diagnosed with endometriosis and fibroids, real bad. As a matter of fact, they said I should have had a hysterectomy. But I had one doctor was like, well, no, if you have at least one child, and they go, but well, you never know what the Lord has in store. But they go, but for right now, yeah, it looks like you'll never have any. And I was happy with that. I was like, shoot, yeah. Hey, I don't have to worry about no kids. Yay.
And you grew up in a big family. Yeah. So you probably had your fill of kids.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because my other sisters don't know, honey. They know, honey. I babysat enough, watched, did diapers. Because that's one thing my mother did not believe in, Pampers. So it was cloth diapers. In which I had used cloth diapers. Wow. No Pampers were allowed to be on her grandbabies. Whether she is around them or not. No Pampers were allowed to be on her grandbaby, and her grandbabies were not allowed to have diaper rash one. So,
it sounds like your son grew up in a really healthy environment. You took a lot of care.
Oh, yeah. Because when I would take him for his checkups, I'd be there with the diaper, with the pins and the cloth diapers, and people would stand around and go. You know, I'd have ladies in there, elderly people that would have their grandbabies, go, well, baby, how old are you? And I'm like, well, I'm 28. And you believe in cloth diapers? I'm like, oh, yes, my mother and my grandmother would kill me if I put some Pampers on my baby.
I was raised with cloth diapers, too. I didn't have the patience for that, though. We did try it. We totally tried it. It didn't last long, though.
Oh, it did. Because I believed in it. And that my great-grandmother said was true, because my son never had a diaper rash. See, because the Pampers and all of that, the chemical makeup in making those, and when the baby, you know, excretes, it mixes and it can be irritant. And I see a lot of women go, oh, well, it's not that wet. And I'm like, well, how wet does wet have to be before it's wet? I mean, if the Pamper is wet, then it's time to change the baby. What do you mean it's not that wet? What? I could never figure that out, so.
Oh, my goodness. This is a good way to end the day, I'll tell you. Okay, is there anything else that we're forgetting, Ashley?
I always just like the...
So the final, you think
yeah,
so?
That's
okay.
My favorite thing.
So we're separating these birth stories into themes, and so we're asking women to kind of think of a word or a phrasing of words that they think encapsulates their experience, or, you know, kind of, you know, describes that.
Well, I tell you what, when they say oh, after you had a baby, you don't, you know, you remember the baby, but you forget all about the pain. No, to this day, I remember the pain, okay? Glad I only had one. Lord blessed me, gave me one. That's all I wanted. But I think, but see, what would sum up this experience? I would say unexpected, shock, and funny.
Yeah, you seem to have a good sense of humor about the whole thing.
Yeah, that, because my family was like, what? She's pregnant? Because they're like, not her. Honey goes, I did not want anyone.
It sounds like he was also a lot of work for someone that didn't want any children.
Oh, he was. About the funniest thing is when, because my mother always told us, you know, go to sleep when the baby sleeps, and, you know, don't sleep while the baby's awake. And I watched all my sisters do it. They'd go to sleep, their baby awake, baby would get up, tear up the house, tear over stuff, knock stuff down. Like, my one nephew painted his mommy's face with grease while she slept.
She must have been tired.
Yeah. The other one put Vic Salve all over her mother's face. So I'm like, oh,
gosh.
I'm not going to do that. I am not going to sleep. Well, he was turning one, so I made him a little Mickey Mouse cake. Had a little cute party for him. Put him down in the crib. I'm cleaning up, fixing everything up. He's asleep. I'm like, I'm going to lay down across the sofa because he's dead asleep. Well, I woke up to him pat me on his face, on my face, hands covered in dirt because I had a couple of plants. He was moaning. I had a glass table like this, covered in chocolate cake. Chocolate cake all over the shag rug, mixed with dirt. He was crying, so I panicked. Now, instead of, and people are like, oh, I'd have been yelling at my baby. I didn't yell at my baby because the first thing that came to my mind is, you're not supposed to go to sleep and let the baby beat you up.
You just have to cover them in, like, bells, and then they move about.
So I immediately called his pediatrician, told me what to do, you know, to get him to set his stomach to settle, and he'll crap and he'll be okay.
Because he was eating the dirt? And
I wasn't sure if he ate the dirt. I wasn't sure if he just ate all the cake and then played in the rest, or played in the dirt and the cake and decided I'll eat a couple of, just combine them. I was just worried. And the doctor told me, no, this is what you do. And because his doctor was really good. He gave me his home phone, pager, hospital phone, private phone, because he knew I was serious about my child. So he told me what to do, and I watched. Of course, he had a bowel movement, went to sleep. He was all good. I hollered. Once I got him settled and I knew he was okay, oh, I laughed. I hollered. I had tears coming out of my eyes because I just saw the house, cake and dirt everywhere, and the only thing I could do was laugh. And people were like, you laughed at that? I'm like, yeah, because it's my fault. Because the first thing that came, I mean, it was just like the Lord said it real clear, you're not supposed to go to sleep and let the baby beat you up. So there I was cleaning up all that mess. Oh my goodness, it was a sight.
I can actually perfectly imagine it, because you were so good at describing that. Wow. Yeah, you're a born storyteller. That's wonderful. I think it's perfect. I think we're good. We'll end it there.